The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Another beautiful day here at Edstone. Bright, sunshiny day, 55 degrees. A nice day to be broadcasting outside. We need to get some facilities out on the patio for days such as this. Well, lots and lots going on in the world today. Lots of trouble in the world today, as we'll discuss here in a moment. I mentioned also last week of the many anniversaries that we had passed. We covered some of that on last week's programs. And for this particular program, we're coming up on our 500th episode tomorrow, or at least my 500th program. That'll be tomorrow. And Sam has been hard at work finding a few bloopers that we can play for you, perhaps, if we have time at the end of tomorrow's show. So if you'd like to end the program tomorrow with a smile on your face, make sure that you tune in to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, either on the live stream, or you can, of course, download the podcast through iTunes or listen to it at thetrumpet.com or at the KPCG .fm website. So lots and lots of ways to listen to this program. For today's show, we're going to focus primarily on the root cause of all of the evil and the trouble that we see in the world today. I mean, there's just so much of it. And as the Apostle Paul said, he prophesied this in 2 Timothy 3, it's just getting worse and worse in these last days. And who can honestly deny that when looking at the world today? I mean, just in comparing it to the way that it was even 20 or 25 years ago, so much chaos and violence, so much trouble, so many problems, so much madness, as Victor Davis Hanson says in his piece, his latest. Don't forget about the Middle East madness. Here you've got the ongoing Asian pivot. Donald Trump's in the midst of a pretty long trip through the Southeast Asian nations. And America, of course, is caught up with every imaginable distraction at home. All of these scandalous allegations, and the same now is true for the UK. Allegations aimed against celebrities or politicians. And yet, as Victor Davis Hanson says, these problems like the $20 trillion debt or the Middle East. And he says in his piece, you can see why Americans are, you know, glad to move on from the Middle East and glad to see ISIS finally destroyed. They're glad that they no longer have to hear about Fallujah or to see all of these video clips of beheadings and drownings and burning people to death and mass killings. And yet, as Victor Davis Hanson says in his latest article, I mean, Iran is on the march. They're building that bridge from Iran all the way through to the Mediterranean. He says here, until recently, America apparently favored an ascendant Iran, Shiite, Hezbollah, Assad nexus over the ossified and estranged Sunni Gulf monarchies. It says the prior administration pushed through the Iran deal that sent billions of dollars into the Iranian terrorist pipeline and eventually will guarantee an Iranian bomb on the promise that the bomb would come later rather than sooner. That's all that the Obama administration got out of the Iranians. Just a promise that, well, we're building a bomb, we're building a nuclear weapon, but we'll delay it by a few years. So long as you give us this, 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 and this. And the Obama administration was quite happy to give them everything that they wanted and to deceive the American media in the process. He says here, who can count all the masked side deals, hidden cash supplements, and unspoken corollaries in the agreement? So much nefarious activity just to get that deal to go through. He says here, the U.S. is now exporting vast amounts of oil, coal. Well, let me skip further down. Iran now has the cash to buy almost all the weapons it needs. With ISIS gone, the Kurds increasingly isolated, and the U.S. not likely to remain much longer in the region. After the demise of ISIS, Iran will finish building its pathway to the Mediterranean. I mean, here the U.S. dusts off its hands and leaves, and they continue with their pathway all the way through to the Mediterranean. He says, so this much-needed respite from the Middle East madness may be coming to a close. It seems like a relatively quiet time in the Middle East, all things considered. But it's not going to last long, as he brings out. Because Iran is empowered, and they're getting richer by the day. And so, as he says, it's not North Korea that we should be worrying about primarily. As far as the next major conflict is concerned, but look at what's happening right now in the Middle East. He says Hezbollah, the Assad government, and Iran are waging a veritable proxy war against Saudi Arabia. We talked some about this yesterday. The political chaos in Lebanon, Saudi Arabia being behind that. These two powers, Saudi Arabia and Iran, drawing lines in the sand. And then, of course, there's Israel right in the middle of it all. It says, over the last 8 years, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was demonized by the Obama administration to the point that Democratic operatives interfered in a foreign election in hopes of defeating Netanyahu at the polls. Talk about collusion. Well, no one really seemed to care about that kind of collusion. President Obama caught red-handed, interfering in an international election. It says, finally, the most likely next war may not be missile exchanges over the Korean DMZ or Russian divisions pouring into the Baltic states, but instead, an Iranian-Syrian Hezbollah-sponsored rocket and missile attack on Israel with a dug-in and fortified army of terrorists prepped for Israeli ground retaliation into Lebanon. It's been something like 11 years since the last major war against Israel coming from their neighbors. And that, as Hansen brings out, that's actually, when you look at it historically, that's a pretty long time. He says, we're awfully tired of the Middle East, but it's not quite tired of us. You know, you can try to erase it and put it out of your memory. ISIS is defeated. Thankfully, we can get out of there and move on. But watch out for the madness in the Middle East. And of course, we know from a prophetic standpoint that all of it, really, all of it, is going to revolve around Jerusalem. That's the powder keg, right there in the heart of the little Israeli state. And to be sure, all of these other hot spots, I mean, they're important to watch too. He mentioned Russia and the Baltic states. He talked about North Korea, of course, China, a much bigger threat than North Korea, building up this world-class army. And its neighbors are concerned. I mean, there's calls for I'll get into this in the next segment, but there's calls for Japan and South Korea to nuke up because of North Korea. That's the direction that we're headed in. Well, one last piece here that I thought I'd just touch on briefly. This has to do with the violence, the gun violence that we're seeing in the United States, it seems, almost every other week. And here's a Huffington Post piece blaming it on toxic masculinity. I went through the that Weinstein article yesterday from, what was it, National Review or some one publication. Maybe it was from the UK. Yeah, that's right, The Spectator. But as I said yesterday, you can see how that Satan is going to use these scandals to go after male authority, to go after masculinity, I mean, biblical masculinity, to go after the role of the man. And here is a Huffington Post piece. Of course, they're coming from the far left, blaming the mass shootings on the so-called toxic masculinity. It does bring out some true statistics, however, saying that the pattern with so many of these shooters is that they're involved in a lot of domestic violence beforehand. And of course, in the case of this most recent one at Sutherland Springs, here was a disturbed individual, a violent criminal, a wife beater, a child abuser, animal cruelty, kicked out of the Air Force. I mean, the laundry list of crimes, violent crimes, and yet he's just walking the streets, able to purchase guns, because the Air Force, when kicking him out, didn't report to those crime databases that he couldn't buy firearms. Massive breakdown in the government of the United States, this supersized, bloated government that so many commentators just think that if we expand it further and pass more laws, all the problems will be solved. In any event, you look at the pattern, disturbing behavior going back into this individual's history, and yet he's still able to roam the streets, threaten his in-laws, pick up weapons at the gun store. This Huffington Post piece goes back through, well, the Las Vegas shooter, just some of these more recent shooters, how that they had a history of abusing women or wives or spouses. It says here a little further on, when it comes to violence, specifically gun violence, research suggests how we can mitigate some of these tragic losses. We can impose universal background checks. We can close gun show and private seller loopholes. We can criminalize the procurement of AR-15s and other military-style assault weapons. We can even reduce the number of guns in circulation, which has been proven to be the most effective method of reducing gun violence. So these are all the left-wing talking points brought out in this article. But it seems like there is a bigger, more pernicious issue at play here. When you look at the pattern among many of the men who have committed some of the most heinous acts of violence in our nation's recent history, they frequently share a common trait of hating and perpetrating violence against women. And so that's what we need to look into. And really, I mean, like I said yesterday, all of this shows just how much we need God's truth and God's instruction. Because there certainly are a lot of things that men are learning today that aren't godly or biblical. But you just know that Satan's going to take this kind of an argument to an extreme and go after the men all the more. Well, this woman brings out all of the wrong messages that so many young men are receiving today. She says toward the end here, and we tell men that their wives must be subservient to their husbands, as if women have no human agency, and that if they act out, then men have permission to slap them around a little because no one believes the woman. Who tells the men this? How are young men getting this message? Well, let's look into popular culture. Let's look into the hip-hop culture. Let's look into the educational system. There's plenty of blame to go around. When you get away from God and His Word, I mean, the influences coming from every direction, they are wrong, they are ungodly. But the solution is not to target men across the board. The solution is to get grounded in the God-ordained roles as revealed in the Holy Bible. That's from the, as I say, the Huffington Post. Let me just finish the conclusion that she has. Do we need a cultural shift around gun control and the Second Amendment? Yes, we do. But that's merely attacking a symptom of the problem. Gun rights defenders like to say guns don't kill people. People kill people. But it's not people. Overwhelmingly, when it comes to mass shootings, it's men, 98%. And she's right about that. I mean, the men are primarily the ones pulling the trigger. So while stricter gun laws seem like a no-brainer, we can't just focus on symptoms. We also need to attack this problem at its source. That's what we're going to do in the next segment. She says the source is toxic masculinity. In fact, the source of these problems, these troubles, the source is human nature, which comes straight from the devil. We'll get into that, as I say, coming up in the next segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program or send in some comments, just like one of our 10-year-old listeners in Kansas City, I believe, sent me a nice message just the other day. If you'd like to join in on the fun, you can send messages to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
And let me respond to those who offered mental health. Mental health, the data shows that Americans have more mental health problems than do people in other countries with fewer mass shootings. But it shows that an estimated that only 4% of American gun death could be attributed to mental health issues. Let's not keep giving excuses or blaming people with mental health issues. I can assure you that is not the problem. As the article says in the New York Times, it's all about guns.
Guns.
I asked my colleagues...
That's Representative Jackson Lee saying yesterday on the House floor that the problem is the guns. The guns. We can't blame it on mental health. We can't blame it on these unstable people. We've got to take away the guns. That's what the New York Times has reported. What explains U.S. mass shootings, the Times asked this morning. The debate just keeps raging on. The Times here says the only variable that can explain the high rate of mass shootings in America is its astronomical number of guns. something like, what, 250 million guns in the United States. And that is an astronomical figure, no doubt about it. But that's the only explanation for the high rate of mass shootings, of this kind of violence. Further on in the piece, this is the New York Times, it says more gun ownership corresponds with more gun murders across virtually every axis. Among developed countries, among American states, among American towns and cities, and when controlling for crime rates. It says, and gun control legislation tends to reduce gun murders, according to a recent analysis of 130 studies from 10 countries. So the Times here says, this suggests that the guns themselves cause the violence. The guns themselves. Now, if you step back and look at the bigger picture, or more powerful weapons, like Victor Davis Hanson said in that piece I just quoted about the previous administration pushing through this Iran nuke deal, sending billions of dollars to an Iranian terrorist pipeline that eventually guarantees Iran a nuclear bomb. It effectively hands them the biggest gun that you can make on Earth. One that could kill hundreds of thousands of people. Look also at the push now. The calls for South Korea and Japan to go nuclear. It says that Real Clear Defense, the North Korea crisis has led commentators to reassess the conventional wisdom that when it comes to nuclear bombs, fewer is better. So here's a case where they're beginning to think, no, well, maybe we need more weapons. Maybe we need more bombs. So which is right? Do we take away the guns? Do we take away the bombs? Or do we make more of them to protect us? Unsurprisingly, South Korea and Japan are at the center of this discussion. In a provocative piece in the Washington Post, it says that it made a case for nuclear proliferation to stabilize the fractious region. So the New York Times is saying that guns are the cause and we've got to get rid of the guns. The Washington Post is saying that we need nuclear proliferation to stabilize Southeast Asia. Real Clear says this mixture of heightened threat and long-standing rivalry is why South Korean media and political opposition and some government officials have raised or backed the idea of nuclear parity with the North. I mean, if North Korea has a big gun, then we need a big gun to protect ourselves. I mean, that's the way many people in Texas are thinking. You want to take away our guns, all that's going to do is take it away from the good guys. If you want to start taking away guns, take away guns from the ones that have them illegally, like all these killers in Chicago or Baltimore, or like the shooter in Sutherland. It was illegal for him to have that gun, or four of them, I guess he had. But he had them, partly because of a massive breakdown in communication between the Air Force and law enforcement agencies. Real Clear says, conjecture about a nuclear-armed Japan happens more in the U.S. than in Japan itself. Unsurprising for the only country to have experienced the devastation of nuclear weapons. However, discussion has increased in Tokyo in light of the Korea crisis. So there's more. I mean, right now it's commentators in the U.S. telling Japan, you better get a big gun. You better build a nuclear weapon. And in Tokyo, they're starting to think about it. It says Japan is one of the few states without nuclear weapons to have an enrichment facility and has a domestic stockpile of 10 tons of plutonium with 37 tons stored overseas. It says, unlike South Korea, if the government desired, it could probably produce a device within a year. I mean, if Japan is serious about building a nuclear weapon, they could get one probably in a year. It says Japan would eventually be likely to develop a submarine-launched ballistic missiles for a credible second-strike capability against North Korea and China. It says, finally, bear in mind that the U.S. alliance with the U.K. did not shatter when the latter developed nuclear arms, nor did the U.S. abandon France in the face of de Gaulle's nuclear force. Could Tokyo be a new London and Seoul a new Paris? I mean, look, we still had a good relationship with the U.K. when they went nuclear. Same with France. Why can't Japan be the U.K. and South Korea be France? Maybe they should all nuke up to protect themselves from madmen. From madmen who have their finger on the trigger. You talk about mass killing. Herbert Armstrong used to talk about the weapons that man has built and how that he uses all of them. And the fact that there are so many guns in the United States, there's no doubting that that's the weapon of choice for many because they're so easily accessible. But that's just the point. There's weapons all over the world. Man has access to them, and more important than that is he has the nature, he has the evil nature of Satan the devil to actually use those weapons, and he will. And that's what needs to change. That's the root cause. I mean, Isaiah 2:4 says that there is, I mean, a gun confiscation is coming. It's worldwide. When God beats the swords into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks, there will be no weapons in the wonderful world tomorrow. It says in that prophecy that nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's the root cause. I mean, you could take away the swords and the spears, and still, if people learn war, they're going to find a way to mistreat one another. They're going to find a way to even kill each other. It's been that way from the Garden of Eden right through to today. And it is more dangerous now because the weapons are more dangerous. And it is more dangerous now and more evil and more troubling and more violent because of the proliferation of so many weapons, because they're so easily accessible. But the problem's not solved, not at the root cause of it, until we start learning the way of peace. Not the way of war, but the way of peace. Listen to what Herbert Armstrong had to say about human nature. This is from a sermon he gave back in the 1980s. Clip 2.
Why do we live in the world like we do? There has to be a cause for every effect. Something had to cause it. Something is continually causing all of the troubles in this world. But people are trying to deal with the effect, and you never can cure the effect until you get to the cause and change that. Now, you can say the cause is human nature, but people don't understand human nature. They don't realize what it is. They don't know what is its origin. They don't know where human nature came from. You think God created human nature in people? Human nature is an evil attitude that wants to go the way of self. Self-centeredness, the way of get. God did not create that way, and God's law and everything about God is just the opposite way. Just the opposite.
It's just the opposite from the way of get, self-centeredness, self-love. But he said earlier in that clip there, if you heard, that man's trying to deal with the effect, and you never can cure the effect until you get to the cause and change the cause. You take away the guns and man will find some other way. Well, just like that terrorist did last week. He just rented a van in New Jersey and was able to kill 8 people. Human nature is the cause. That's the root cause. That's what you hear coming from God's church. That's what you read about in our literature. That's what you heard there in that clip from Mr. Armstrong. My father's declared the same message over the year. He had a program last year, What is Human Nature? This is from 2016, clip 3.
Human nature is the cause of all these problems that we have, every single one of them. And if it's the cause of all these terrifying problems, then we need to know what human nature is, but almost nobody knows what it is. What is human nature? What is it?
The Bible defines it, but nobody wants to go to the Bible. Nobody wants to submit to the teachings of the Bible. Nobody on either side. Those that are calling for gun control and those that are saying, no, it's in the Second Amendment. We've got a right. This is how we protect ourselves. And so the debate continues on endlessly. And more violence is coming. That's the sad truth. Because of this evil human nature, this spirit that Satan is bombarding us with, the prince of the power of the air. This morning in doctrines class here at the college, we've been studying the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed, the good news gospel, and all that message encompasses. He says this at the outset of the incredible human potential, Mr. Armstrong does. He says, the true gospel, when fully understood, explains the origin of the devil. Did God create a devil to mislead and harass humanity? The gospel explains how Satan came to be the great, though invisible and hidden power that sways invisibly and actually rules this world. It explains why Satan moved with all his wiles and subtleness to suppress through humans he could sway this vital gospel message which God sent by Jesus Christ to mankind. It's all there, packed in the gospel message, the true gospel message. It tells us how Satan came to be the great power that sways invisibly and actually rules this world. He's the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Listen to what my father said in that same 2016 program, clip 4.
Now, look, if you think about this, it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 that Satan is the God of this world. The God, that means we worship him. The God of this world. Now, if you worship a God, you obviously take on the nature of that God. And that's what this world has done. And that's why you see all these problems and all the violence and all the illicit sex and all of these sins that Satan causes man to get involved in. And of course, man cooperates with him, at least for the time being, but that's going to change.
That's from my father's show last year, 2016, What is Human Nature? Satan is the God of this world. He's the God we've been worshiping, and we've taken on the nature of that God. And that's why the world is so full of violence and trouble and all these problems, and they just keep getting worse. You've got to go back to the cause, the root cause, going back to the incredible human potential. It says here, what is human nature? Did God create it and instill it in humans to trouble us? Is it hereditary? How does it work? It says, neither modern science, religion, nor education can tell you. You can't go to church. You can't go to the university to find this out. You're only going to hear this from God's truth, from God's word. And it's there. I'll give you the scriptures here in just a moment. You can start turning over to Jeremiah 17. Read these words of God. Read what the Bible says. about human nature, actually Satan's nature. Verse 1 of Jeremiah 17, it says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars." These sins of our people, I mean, they're just so deeply etched into our hearts and minds, written there like with a pen of iron, like with the point of a diamond. Isaiah 1, remember, says that the whole body is sick from head to toe. There's a disease, spiritually speaking. There's a sickness. There's a perversion. In my father's booklet, the Jeremiah booklet, he says, everywhere we look, there are problems man has not been able to solve. We are living cursed lives and usually do not even know it. Jeremiah 17, this is my father writing, Jeremiah 17 gets at the very heart of why we refuse to face and conquer our problems. He says this chapter gets to the core of the whole Bible message. I mean, this is at the heart and core of the true gospel that Jesus proclaimed. But people rejected that gospel and crucified Christ. And people reject that gospel message today. The gospel message is the truth about the soon coming kingdom of God to be established on this earth. And God's kingdom is his family administering the government of God. God's family government. That's how that you bring peace and prosperity and happiness and contentment to this earth, all the earth. That's how you turn the swords and the spears into implements for farming. It says in verse 5, this is Jeremiah 17, "Thus says the Eternal, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Eternal." Cursed be the man who trusts in man to solve all these problems, to fix all these problems. Why is it such a curse? Well, verse 9, the memory verse, it says, "The heart," that's the mind of man, "the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Nobody knows. Nobody knows why these mass tragedies happen, these mass shootings. They don't know. All they can do is blame the other side. I heard a comment from former Secretary of State John Kerry yesterday, blaming what's happening in North Korea, all the saber rattling there, blaming it on President Trump. I mean, he's only been in office for what, 9 months? I guess he was voted in a year ago today. It's only been a year since he was even elected. And yet you look at that nuclear weapons program in North Korea over the past 2 decades. Nothing was done to stop it. No so-called gun confiscation there. Just step aside. Let him build nuclear weapons. Let him fire missiles over Japan. And then if it gets to be really dangerous, you can always blame it on your political opponent. Meanwhile, here at home, oh, it's so obvious what we need to do. We need to confiscate guns. We need to get rid of AR-15s. We need to get rid of this, and that'll solve the problems. Man can't get to solutions, not real lasting solutions, because of this human heart. God says it's desperately wicked. It's dangerously sick. That's what my father brings out in the booklet. You're not going to get far trusting in sick human minds. And you go into the educational institutions. Like Mr. Armstrong said, you're not going to get the truth about this from education, because you go into those educational institutions and what do they say about human nature? They say that it's basically good. That statement from John Kerry yesterday is basically one that that implies if I was still there, I'd be able to sit down and talk with the authoritarian running North Korea. And we'd be able to reason with him, just like we were able to strike a deal with the mullahs in Iran. Because the human heart is good, they believe. On the other side, they acknowledge that there are acts of pure evil, and there are evil beings. But like I read to you from an article yesterday, I guess it was maybe that pastor from California, maybe that was Monday's program. In any event, those evil beings, there's a few of them kind of over in a corner, and they need to be locked up. But the rest of us, I mean, we know the difference between good and evil. See, the rest of us, we're good. That's exactly what Satan wants for us to believe. We don't see the evil in human nature. We see human nature as something that's basically good and trustworthy. It's a deadly deceit. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Cause and effect. We're reaping what we sow, the fruit of his doings. This is why we see curses setting in. Man is being cursed according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And here it's building to Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. When every nation on earth is going to get in on the act, they're going to use the biggest, baddest guns they have to blow up entire cities. That's what Christ prophesied. Verse 14, here's the solution. Jeremiah the prophet, he says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Only God can heal the heart of man. And of course, the beauty of God's plan and purpose is that he will do that. He will heal us of this sickness. You can look over at Matthew 9 on your own time. This is Christ having this exchange with Pharisees who came up and said, well, why is Christ eating with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus overheard that, he said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Go and learn what this means. Go and understand more about the sickness of the human heart and the need for a spiritual physician. We're talking about the number one problem facing humanity today, human nature. This sickness, this dangerous sickness. In the Jeremiah booklet, my father says, understanding this profound verse. That's Jeremiah 17:9 he's talking about. Understanding this profound verse is more important than any education in the world. When we understand it, radical action is necessary. You go back to the very beginning chapters of the Bible. God creating Adam and then Eve, revealing to them the essential knowledge that they needed, offering them the tree of life, which represented his Holy Spirit, which would have completed their spiritual creation. They were incomplete spiritually, only equipped with the human spirit, and they needed God's spirit, the spirit of love and outflowing concern. They needed that to complete their creation. They needed that to establish and to keep a relationship with God, strong and intimate. They needed the spirit of God in order to get along with fellow man, to get along with their neighbor. But Adam and Eve, as you know, rejected the tree of life and took instead from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did that, God took action. God sent them forth from the garden. He drove them out of the garden. He drove out the man, it says. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He cut them off. He cut Adam and Eve and the human race that would come out from them. He cut them off from the Holy Spirit. Now again, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says that Satan is the god of this world. Satan was there in the Garden of Eden. I mean, he was prevented from coming and influencing Adam and Eve until God had finished giving them the essential knowledge that they needed. Then when he did that, God allowed Satan to come in and to tempt them. And they chose the way of the devil. And that's the choice that mankind has been making ever since. And when you consider the power of this spirit being, this evil spirit being, well, the scriptures say he's the prince of the power of the air. That's Ephesians 2 and verse 2. The scriptures say he's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit behind these evil acts. My father in that program from last year, he said this about that verse in Ephesians 2, clip 5.
Prince of the power of the air, he broadcasts his attitude just like a television signal being transmitted over the airwaves directly into a TV. That's how Satan broadcasts and gets his attitude and his spirit in us. If we don't fight against it with God's Holy Spirit.
We've got to fight against it with God's power, with God's spirit. How many people are doing that today? Mr. Armstrong in Mystery of the Ages, he has some of the same thoughts there about the broadcast, how that it's like a radio or a television signal. He said that he broadcasts not in words or sounds or pictures, but in attitudes, moods, and impulses. And he said further that the human spirit in each human being is automatically tuned to Satan's wavelength. Now you add to that the fact that, as Revelation 12 brings out, Satan and his demons have been cast down to this earth. They're confined to this earth. And so the influence of these evil, these dark evil beings, and this bombardment coming from the devil, our correspondence course, I don't have the lesson here, what number it is, but it says here, after Adam sinned, he and all his children after him were now receptive to the sway of Satan. Satan, who is a spirit, began to work in the minds of Adam and Eve, even as God would have worked in their minds had they taken of the tree of life. As a result, Satan imparted to both their minds the attitudes of vanity, of selfishness, of get or resentment of authority. Those characteristics we call human nature, the carnal mind, described in Romans 8 and Jeremiah 17, come from Satan the devil himself. That's where these violent attitudes and impulses come from. And when the environment around someone with those evil impulses is especially bad, you see the worst of the worst. You see the kinds of things now that are almost becoming routine. A terrorist attack one week, mowing down pedestrians in New York. And then the next week, a deranged lunatic threatening his in-laws, waltzing into their church, and shooting all of these parishioners from behind, execution style. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation or our conduct in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I mean, it was just in our nature. Even those of us that are in the church of God, Paul says, when we were out, when we were in the world, this was just the way we thought. This is Paul writing to brethren coming out of the world in the first century. And yet somehow we think we're so much better, more sophisticated, more righteous than these people from 2,000 years ago. In fact, it's so much worse. And if your eyes are open to the truth, you can see it. You see it everywhere you look. In The Missing Dimension in Sex, this is Mr. Armstrong's book, our textbook here at Armstrong College for Principles of Living. Mr. Armstrong says, human nature is simply the subconscious pull of a definite attitude of mind. It is the attitude that became Satan's. It is the natural attitude implanted from infancy by the invisible Satan. It is the attitude of vanity, of self-concern, of lust and greed. It is the attitude of hostility to others and resentment of authority over it. Of course, the self expands into the empirical self, which includes those of whom individual self is associated or connected. This may include one's family, his club, his gang, his church, his country. And so even the love for what's yours is innately selfish because it's yours. And yet even that natural, that so-called natural affection, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, even that, we see that leaving our society, disappearing. Instead, what we see are people beating up or fracturing the skull or abusing those that they should be closest to. That's what motivates so much of the violence. It's hatred for your own family, your own flesh and blood, your own spouse. That's 2 Timothy 3 and verse 3, or 1 through 3. And that's what we've got to come out of. That filthiness of the flesh and spirit, as it says in 2 Corinthians 7. Well, God has a solution. God has a solution. We read at the start of this segment that chapter, or at least paraphrase that chapter, Isaiah 2, where it talks about learning the way of war. There's coming a time when we won't learn war anymore. Isaiah said later in his book, speaking of our day today, that we don't know the way to peace. But there's coming a time when we won't learn war anymore. We'll actually learn the way of peace. And to quote what the prophet Ezekiel had to say about God cleansing us from all of our filthiness. This is Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then the next verse, verse 26 says, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to soften the heart and give to you a mind like me, God says. A mind that's in harmony, complete harmony with God. This is the gospel message. Part of it. This is all part of the gospel message that Jesus taught. Finally, God will complete that spiritual creation. Once man is just totally sick of what he's done to this earth and to fellow man, and finally willing to listen to God, to receive God's instructions, to heed his instructions. Verse 27 says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. See, God's going to change the hard hearts of men. It's not just a matter of getting rid of physical weapons. I mean, he's going to outlaw all forms of murder and killing and hatred and hostility and selfishness. And if you can believe it, at that time, man's most basic desire will be to obey God's law of love. My father once made the statement. He said, "Replacing your human nature with God's nature is the most magnificent victory you can ever achieve." You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments at td@kpcg.fm. Don't forget, tomorrow, our 500th episode. We'll have more to say about that on tomorrow's show. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.